And if you turn in the Bibles again to that first letter of John on page 1081. Page 1081. Consider some thoughts on fellowship that John brings before us here. But it's worth asking the question before we really get going, is what is fellowship? What is fellowship? There's lots of different meanings for it. Well, let's consider a couple of definitions that help us to understand what fellowship in the Bible is. So, the first one here is it's the action of fellowship. Let's look at what that might look like in action a little bit. It's not comprehensive, but here are some things. It's sharing a common faith, sharing the common Christian faith. It's also sharing our daily lives and things, and being partners together in the gospel. So there's some actions of fellowship that the Bible presents before us. As I say, that's not complete, but you get a picture, starting to get a picture of what it can look like, practically. But also let's consider the essence or the substance of fellowship. And the essence of fellowship is the eternal life that comes from the Father through Jesus and becomes the life shared individually and corporately by the church. So do you see the substance? It is the life of God himself in us individually and corporately that produces fellowship like nowhere else on earth. So there's a couple of thoughts about fellowship that the Bible brings before us. But we want to see how John presents fellowship now, with those kind of understandings in our mind a bit. How does John present fellowship here? And the first point that we want to make from this passage is this. Jesus is declared so that fellowship can begin. Jesus is declared or proclaimed so that fellowship can actually begin in people's lives. So that those first few opening verses of the chapter here in John chapter 1, they are a bit complicated, especially in this version which follows the Greek so closely, but they are speaking of Jesus. So when it says, that was from the beginning, that's talking of Jesus, and he that was from the beginning, which we have heard, John is talking about his personal experience of hearing Jesus, and of seeing him, of looking upon him, our hands have handled him, John has touched him many, many times. Concerning the word of life, that's a description of Jesus that John gives him. And then there's a little kind of bracket, parenthesis, verse 2. The life was manifested, Jesus was revealed, and was seen. Jesus was seen physically, God, life, was seen physically. And they bear witness to him, and so they declare, they proclaim, this eternal life that came in the flesh to people. So you can see that in those opening verses, Jesus is the subject. Here he is, John is saying. This is Jesus that I'm talking about. And we are going to declare him. That's what we want to do. So in verse 2 we have that word declare, don't we? In verse 2 it says, and declare to you that eternal life. That is Jesus. And in verse 3 the same again. That which we have seen and heard, we declare, we proclaim. And in verse 5 even, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Declaration of Jesus himself, of the gospel, of the message about Jesus, the life that came down and took flesh. And it is faith in this message that brings fellowship into our lives. That's what John is saying. If you see that in verse 3, he says that that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, why? That you also may have fellowship, that really close communion, intimacy with us, and truly, John says, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you see the purpose of declaration? Declaring Jesus. It is to bring fellowship, real, beautiful, unique fellowship of the church into people's lives. And there is no fellowship outside of Jesus. That's what he's saying there. Because he says our fellowship is truly with God and with Jesus. So it doesn't come from anywhere else. It exists because of this reality. Because of this relationship that someone can have with the living God. We get the same thing right at the very end of the book, of the end of the letter. If we turn to chapter 5, verse 20. We see clearly here that fellowship is only found in experiencing God. This wonderful type of fellowship that we'll unpack a little bit. So in verse 20 of chapter 5, we read this. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know. Now that word know is a very experiential know. It's not just head knowledge. It is to know someone intimately. To really, really know them experientially in your life. So he says, so that we may know him, Jesus, who is true. And we are in him, there's fellowship, who is true. So by knowing him, experiencing him, we have fellowship with him. So we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So, relating with God, we learn how to relate to each other. In Christ, there is a way to relate. There is a fellowship to discover. And by discovering it and learning it from God, we also learn how to relate properly to each other. More than that, God is in us relating to others. You see that? That's an incredible step. You are no longer left on your own to relate to others, but God is in you relating to others. This is why Christian fellowship is unique in the world. I just want you to see that. You're not going to discover it anywhere else. We're going to see that it is beautiful. See that it is life itself, ultimately. The fall, that is the rebellion that Adam and Eve began when they rejected God, that brought a breakdown in fellowship, didn't it? It brought a breakdown in fellowship with God between them, and it brought a breakdown in fellowship between human and human. And it's been that way ever since. So you need to understand, the world and humanity exist in a reality of broken fellowship. Both with God and themselves. Now the world does try to kind of work up fellowship. They do try. Society tries to create fellowship. And they do it in a number of different ways. You can think of plenty more than I can, I'm sure. But there are clubs, aren't there? Friendship groups, there's hobbies. There's families. We know families are given by God, but within those families, there's a human way of trying to work up fellowship. There's business relationships. The workplace is more and more becoming a place of fellowship, isn't it? In our society today. Some people spend much more time with their work colleagues than they do with their family. And it's an attempt at fellowship in a different land. And there's many more ways that society, on an individual level or on a corporate level, tries to discover and work up fellowship. That deep participation in each other's lives. But they can't do it. Because it's a gift of God. Did you know that? Fellowship is a gift of God. Not a creation of man. The church, that's the body of Christ, the church, has this fellowship. They have what the world is really, really looking for. The world may not know it. Society may not know it. But you have it! I have it. You have it. This is an incredible privilege. Now, looking around us, do we make the most of that fellowship? We wouldn't be walking in the light, would we, if we said we do? We know that we don't. On individual level and on a corporate level, there are failings. And that's a tragedy in a way, because are you seeing that it's there for us, this fellowship? I do have it. We do have it. Wonderfully we have it. But there's always more, isn't there? That's what I'm trying to say there. I wonder, do you value, just stop and think, do you value the fellowship of the church? Of course, it's been brought down to me and Liz very much, hasn't it? With Noah in hospital. We have experienced a fresh, first-hand fellowship. Sharing. A love coming through people, to people, that is above and beyond what we would normally ask. Do you value it? Do you value fellowship? Or are you out there on your own a bit like a coal out of the fire? Fellowship is a wonderful thing. And do you understand it's not found anywhere else? We're of course, aren't we, looking in other places for the fellowship that is in the church. Think about fellowship as John presented here for a few moments. The first thing I want to say is that fellowship is light. Fellowship is light. Let's consider fellowship as light for a few moments. John clearly presents it as that. We see that in verse 7, don't we, of chapter 1. Fellowship as light. John says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light equals fellowship. Do you see that? Walking in the light equals fellowship. So fellowship is walking in the light. And we have fellowship because truth becomes number one. Our fellowship because truth, speaking truth and living in truth, walking in the light, becomes number one in our lives. Just turn back to page 940. We will see this a bit more graphically, a bit more clearly maybe. John chapter 3, so it's the same writer, the same man, writing under the inspiration of God through his characteristics and perspectives. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, we read this. And this is the condemnation, or the verdict. This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness, people love darkness rather than light, because their actions were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his actions should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his actions may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In God. You see that? Actions done in God. Fellowship. And the person in fellowship has no problem coming to the light, because what he does is in truth. Fellowship is based on truth, walking in the light. Fellowship is about truth. Did you know that? Have you really understood that? Our fellowship, my fellowship with you, your fellowship with me, is about truth. It's about being truthful, always, loving truth. Between us, speaking truth. Value. What value? Let's ask ourselves. What value do we put on truth? You think about it for a moment. What value do you put on truth in your life? I think it's quite a challenging thought. What circumstances in your life have ever squeezed you into telling a lie, speaking untruth? is your fellowship with other believers? It's based on truth. Speaking truth. You know, you only have to open the newspapers, don't you? Don't you only have to open the newspapers to see lies that are riddled with lies? Lives riddled with lies. Their whole lives kind of spiraled and distorted by lies they told. Hidden truths, things they hide because they're not walking in truth. Society doesn't walk in light. It doesn't walk in truth. And we see the wreck it makes for people's lives. Our fellowship is based on light, on truth. Know that truth sets us free, don't we? When a person tells lies, you have to remember what you said, don't you? And to whom you said it. That's a burden the world has to carry. And you have to remember what you're hiding and who you're hiding it from. That's a burden and a weight the world has to carry. But the Christian doesn't have to carry that. I'm not saying we don't. I'm saying we don't have to. Walking in truth sets you free from all sorts of tangles. Both in your heart and in your relationships. And God, just saying here, brings a life of truth to us. That's what he brings in our fellowship with him. He brings a life of truth to us that was not there before. A value in truth because God is light. And when I'm being truthful with you and you are being truthful with me, we have real fellowship. That's the function of fellowship. You know, imagine if I took a survey and I went into Coventry Town Centre and I asked these two questions. First question, would you like people to always tell you the truth? Second question, would you like to know what it feels like to have nothing to hide? Ada? Never really thought about that. But yes! Yes, I would like that. I would like to know that no one is telling me a lie. I would like to know what it is to not have to hide anything. I would like people to always tell me the truth. To be honest. The nitty-gritties of, isn't he a pretty baby when he looks like a shriveled prune and things like that. I'm not getting into that kind of thing. I'm talking about bigger things, okay? I'm talking about the big things. That person that asked that question, you know what they say? They say, yes, I want that because I know in my life everything is tainted by lies. I know in my life there's hidden things. I would love to be free of them. Proclaim Jesus so you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it brings truth into fellowship, into relationship. The church's fellowship is based on it. It's beautiful. And it sets us free. You might be aching for that today, this morning. Might want to walk in it. It's no accident that John says God is light. He says that in verse 5, doesn't he? He says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. And then he goes on, as we've seen, and declares that fellowship is walking in the light. So you see there is a direct link between our fellowship with one another and our fellowship with God the Father. There's a direct link there. God is light. Walk in the light. The absolute inseparable link between the two. And if I am struggling to walk in the light with you, my brothers and sisters, if I'm finding it hard, then my recourse, the path I take, is to the God of light. I go to Him. I run to Him. I say, God, please, let there be greater fellowship between me and you, because you are the God of light. You are light. And my light between me and my brother and sister depends on my fellowship with you. If I am fellowship in light with you, if I am to do that in truth, I must maintain my fellowship with God, who is the God of light. Do you see that? You're not going to create a way of walking in light on your own. You're not going to maintain it on your own. No, neither am I. So, come to God. Brothers and sisters, fight society for that time with God. Don't let them just steal it away in trivial things. We're all vulnerable, aren't we? We're all vulnerable. Being stolen away in trivial things. I am and you are. There's a God of light. And you can walk in the light more than you are through fellowship with Him. So God is the one who's going to give me a love of walking in the light. And He is the one who's going to shine His light on me so that I turn my back on dark behavior. That's what God's going to do when I come into His presence. So if you're missing out on this lovely fellowship, if you're missing out on it, if you feel you're not quite there, then I encourage you. Begin fellowshipping afresh with God. Begin again afresh, fellowshipping with God. Come into His light. Be renewed in His truth. Fellowship as light. But John also presents before us fellowship as life. So not only fellowship as light, but fellowship as life. So I said, it's no accident that John says God is life. And it's no accident that John presents Jesus as life itself. John says that Jesus Himself is life. Do you hear that? He is life. See that in verse 1. Jesus is described in verse 1 of chapter 1 as the Word of Life. There is John, he's presenting Jesus because He is the Word of Life. In verse 2, he calls Him that eternal life. That's the description of Jesus. Jesus is that eternal life. We won't turn there, but in the very last verse that we read in chapter 5, He is described again as eternal life. And all of these descriptions are in the context of us discovering fellowship. These descriptions of Jesus' life are in the context of you and me discovering fellowship. So what is John saying? He is saying fellowship has the substance of life in it. Eternal life. To participate in fellowship is to find life. Did you know that? To enter into the fellowship that the church has through Jesus Christ is to find life. Again, society is searching for it. It's aching for it. It's aching for the fellowship that comes when a human being steps into friendship and fellowship with God, and therefore into friendship and fellowship with each other. It longs for that. And it is the life of the church. It is the fellowship of the church. Ours. There's an aspect of it that is even more amazing still, if we have to hold of it. Because Christian fellowship is a result of eternal life now. That's why there's fellowship, because eternal life in Jesus Christ has come to you and me now. When we see fellowship in action, when we experience it in our lives and are part of it, you can be sure it is eternal life in us now. His outworking of God's eternal life in you and me. Fellowship now points towards that ultimate, eternal fellowship. Do you see that? The fellowship that we have now is pointing towards eternal fellowship. Eternal life. God's new creation. When we will have fellowship that is perfect. Living in the light as He is in the light. Living in life. The eternal life. With all the beautiful actions and relationships that it produces. That's the destiny, that's the end state of our fellowship now, is that it will be perfected. And the actions that we hint at in our lives now are going to be perfected. And walking in the light is going to be perfected, and it's going to be wonderful to walk in full truth, and it's going to be wonderful to walk in full light. And you need to understand that when we experience fellowship, it's pointing towards that. It's reminding you of it. That leads us on to our final point, which is this. Fellowship confirms our salvation. Fellowship confirms our salvation. We read in verse 7 again of chapter 1. It says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that verse is not saying that if you walk in the light, or if you do something, you try to walk in the light, it is going to achieve salvation. That's not what the verse is saying, even though it seemingly is putting that order a little bit. But what it is saying is that if we walk in the light, we can be sure that we have Christ's cleansing. If we walk in the light, we can be assured of the cleansing of Jesus Christ. If we experience fellowship, if we're part of fellowship, if fellowship is in us, if the life and life of Jesus Christ is in us, working in us within the church, it is a sign and an assurance of your salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ covering you, producing His work and life in you. We see it again in chapter 3 of the same letter. If we just read a few verses there, chapter 3, 16 through 20, it says this. By this we know love, because He laid down, that's Jesus, Jesus laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for the brothers and sisters. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in action and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So you see, there's assurance when we are motivated in fellowship to act in this way. Fellowship within the body of Christ is a sign of life in you and me. And we should rejoice in that. We should thank God when we see it happening in our lives. Even when, if we look at verse 20, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Our heart does condemn us, certainly at times. We know we fail, we know we sin, we know we do wrong, sometimes we feel failures, but if this evidence of fellowship is going on in our lives, we can say, it still remains a sign. My heart might be condemning me in certain areas, but I thank God that the evidence of fellowship in my life speaks of salvation in my life. God misses nothing. So we don't serve each other because we're all deserving of it. You know that, don't you? We don't serve each other because you deserve it or I deserve it. And we don't share in each other's lives because we're all so lovely either. No, our fellowship is a confirmation of salvation. It is God, not us, that works fellowship. Do you see that? Fellowship of the variety of people that we have here just doesn't function without God in the picture. And it's evidence of salvation coming down, the life of God amongst his people. And if you're caught up in that fellowship, you can be reassured. So, let's continue. Dear brothers and sisters, let's continue steadfastly, firmly in the apostles' teaching and in fellowship. In the breaking of bread, like we'll do this evening, where there is another aspect, deep aspect of fellowship with God and with each other. Let's continue in those things and in prayer, just like the early church. Let's continue in them. Because Jesus is coming, and his reward is with him. So, just to recap in conclusion. Jesus is declared so that fellowship can begin. I just asked you this morning, have you believed that declaration about Jesus? Have you believed it? The pathway to life, to fellowship, to joy, to truth, to life. It comes through believing what Jesus has said about himself and what God has said about Jesus. For fellowship is life. Fellowship is life. Fellowship confirms your salvation and mine. Amen.